Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our very first episode of the Heath and Kenty Vape Variety Show. Stay tuned, we've got some bits and pieces, chit and chat all about vaping, and here's Kenty.
Yeah, guys, so we decided to set up a podcast just for you guys out there who don't have a chance to catch our live shows on Vape Fam Australia on Sunday nights. So basically, we'll let you know the news, what new mods are coming out. Have a bit of a general chit chat about other stuff, and
sounds good.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, so we'll just get straight into it with the news, I guess, and
straight
see what's been happening
news
around the world.
Oh God, around the world. You know, it's quite amazing that we actually find a lot of the news coming from outside of Australia, and there's absolutely stuff all coming from within it.
I think because other countries have more common sense when it comes to vaping.
Yeah, common sense, Jesus.
You're not allowed to have common sense.
No, that's it. Common sense is anything but common. But we got one out from Vaping 360. That's where we get most of our sources of news from, because I found that they're actually quite reliable, and the guy that writes them is actually quite good at writing them. So the first one up is a study. Vaping is helping more smokers quit.
Well, no shit.
We've known it for a long time, guys. But basically, it's pretty much saying a new study confirms previous research showing that vaping increases quit attempts by smokers and leads to smoking cessation more often. I think that's stating the bloody obvious, and you don't need a university to tell you that.
Yeah, that's pretty common sense.
Like, yeah.
We know that. We both smoked. You know, me and you both used to smoke heavily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we stopped by vaping. They probably paid this university tons of money to do this study as well.
Yeah, well, that's the surprising thing. The study is by a team from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. The researchers examined data on smokers aged between 25 to 44, which is actually a pretty decent-sized bracket, actually, from two large U.S. government surveys, the National Health Interview Survey, the NHIS, conducted by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and the Tobacco Use Supplement to current population survey, which is actually a bit of a massive mouthful. So the researchers looked at the past 12 months in quit attempts between, the years 2006 and 2016, and attempted to find whether vaping was associated with population level changes in past 12 month quit attempts and successful smoking cessation. So basically the findings were that, you know, that shows both past 12-month quit attempts and successful smoking cessation increased significantly in the years since vaping has become common practice.
Well, we know that. I mean, they're just stating the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, well, that is, but it adds absolute decent amounts of weight to it now.
It does, absolutely. But, I mean, what's the stop a university in Australia putting on, you know, one of their doctors doing the same thing?
Yeah, well, if only they did it in Australia. See, yeah, that's the big problem. These guys are actually going out and doing it, whereas, you know, we're sitting back here with our thumbs up our ass saying that we can't do it. But, yeah, so that made for an interesting little read. Yep. And, of course, you know, the paper was basically written and refutes most claims by anti-smoking activists like the University of California, San Francisco, Professor Stanton Glantz. And if anyone knows anything about vaping, we know that this guy is the equivalent of the devil when it comes to going against vaping.
Yeah, he's very anti-vaping.
Yeah, he's an absolute bloody monster. Now another one, which is actually coming out from the FDA, Gottlieb. FDA may ban flavored vapes in convenience stores. Yes.
See, I'm not actually against this.
No, I'm not.
I mean, okay, in a vape store or a tobaccoist in America and stuff like that, that's fine. That's where the product should be allowed to be sold. In your general run-of-the-mill convenience store in America, which I don't know if any of you guys have been there, are kind of just like sort of outback shops here. You know, there's just a kind of like an IGA, you know, a lot of things. So I think this is actually pretty good.
I mean, but I mean, that sort of raises the question as to whether or not, you know, because I mean, okay, you've been to America, right? You can buy cigarettes pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, but then doesn't that then mean that, you know, if they're sort of trying to push to have vaping gear or vaping devices moved from supermarkets and you know, to the viewers out there, when we're talking about vaping devices, we're more talking about the pod-based systems, the Juuls and all that sort of stuff, which are being sold in convenience stores. So shouldn't that then mean that cigarettes get moved out of convenience stores and then just get moved back to tobacconists?
Yeah, see, I still reckon, I don't know, vaping is more of a, the way I see vaping, it's more of a specialty thing. That's why I say, it's not like you're just picking up a dirty, filthy cancer stick and sticking your mouth on lighting it, you know, and smoking it. Whereas, you know, most vapers have a certain amount of etiquette.
Yeah, I suppose, to a degree.
Yeah, you know, they're not up themselves, but, you know, they've certainly got, you know, and with the, you know, this might come around and eventually come around to, you know, they're talking about the plain label packaging in America. It might alleviate that too, because if it goes back to being just vape stores and tobaccoists, clear packaging might be allowed.
Yeah, and that's where this article ends.
Normal packaging might be allowed. Yeah,
we can only hope. But that's what leads further on into the actual article itself. You know, the agency is looking to also restrict online sales. They've already threatened to do so in an effort to stem what Gottlieb regularly calls an epidemic of teenage vaping. Now, for anyone that's in Australia, if they can get it into the Heath and Kenty Vape Variety Show group, there's an interesting video on there from Regulator Watch. Which is actually having a really good discussion with a doctor, and they touched onto this subject about the teenage vaping epidemic, and you know, the point that the doctor actually made about it is that they're not exactly specifying how many of these teenagers are just risk takers anyway. And, you know, they're also using, you know, drugs such as, you know, cannabis, drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes anyway. No one's made that clear define of whether it's just the risk-taking teenagers and how many more teenagers are doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
The stories I've heard coming from the US of teenagers, like, I've heard some stories that, you know, that they're mixing things like crystal meth and other hardcore drugs into their vapes as well.
Yeah, I can't really say too much about that.
So, I mean, in America, yeah, okay, I don't see people in Australia doing that. It's something that I don't see happening.
Oh, God, well, you know, I wouldn't put it past anyone, but, you know, yeah, it's not something that I've actually seriously put thought into.
No,
you
know, I was reading it, I was like, that's a bit over the top, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking some pretty desperate steps to try and cut this stuff down.
Yeah, no, but like you said in one of our previous streams, you know, if you're 12 years old, you can go to the supermarket and buy NRT, which is nicotine replacement therapy, if anyone doesn't know, stuff like Nicorette gum or Quick Mists, or, you know, all that sort of stuff at the age of 12. So
yeah, it is actually mandated. Yes, they can do it.
So it's a bit of a...
But yeah, it's a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of one of those interesting subjects, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll see, that'll come up in the news again, surely.
Yeah, we won't be hearing the end of this, that's for sure. But back to the article, Gottlieb said, I hope I'm saying that right, Gottlieb. Does it look like Gottlieb?
Yeah, good little Gottlieb.
Yeah, well, he says that there's a problem with access, which you know, which is very true. He's saying that these products are too accessible to kids. And there's a problem with the appeal of the product. They're too appealing to kids right now. And it's mostly the cartridge-based e-cigarette products. And he goes on to say, the open tank products that you might find in a vaping store aren't generally used by kids.
Which is exactly right.
Yeah.
Because they're more of a specialist item.
Yeah, yeah. So they're directly going to, so it sort of makes you wonder exactly what are the FDA actually attacking, You know, people they're actually describing it, you know, in news and media as just vaping in general. But when you dig further, when you take the first foot of the earth off of the subject, it's looking more and more that they're aiming towards these pod-based systems.
Yeah, the cigar-like systems.
The cigar-like systems, yeah. Well, we'll have to recoin it as cigar-likes. I mean, they're not technically cigar-likes, but, you know, it's the pod-based system. So, yeah, they're going back to cigar-likes. But this is a complete reversal from the concerns expressed by the agency in its 2016 deeming rule.
Which one was that again?
Where it was sort of like everything having to get approval by the FDA. That's right, yeah. They were going to actually do it by the year 2021 or something like that.
And they brought it forwards.
And then now they're sort of gunning after pod-based systems.
Like Juul.
Yeah, like Juul.
It's a prime example.
So, yeah, so that's actually interesting stuff. So we'll keep you informed with as best as we possibly can. But that's it for the news tonight. And now we've got Kenty with some first views.
Yeah. So basically, guys, it's going to be a bit hard to explain these devices without actually physically showing you them, which you can't see. But Asmodus is bringing out a new RDA, a bottom-feeding RDA, which contains a glass in a tank system on it.
Okay.
Which is quite nice. You can see your coils through the side. Sort of like the Tsunami.
Yeah.
By Geek Vape. I mean, that was pretty cool. You can see your coils, see if they were gunked up and stuff.
Yeah, you get cap. Caps for them.
It comes in 7 different colours. You've got your black, a blue, a gold, a bronze, a purple, a rainbow colour, and a stainless steel colour. You know, unique Juul post designed for easy single coil building. And the posts are pretty nice. It looks like it fits some nice, decent-sized coils if those posts there.
Yeah, that looks a lot like the Wasp Nano kind of set arrangement for the coil and the airflow going to the coil.
Yeah, it's quite a nice-looking RDA. Adjustable bottom airflow system, the top cap locking system as well, so your glass always stays correctly on your coils.
Yep.
Regular pin and bottom feeding pin, Delrin drip tip for great flavour. It's 24.5 millimetres in diameter, which
24.5.
I found that a bit odd being 24.5.
Yeah, right.
But seeing most devices these days are capable of fitting, you know, bigger tanks on them anyway, and bigger RDAs and RTA, it's not a big much.
Oh,
of a
well,
deal.
It's not a massive issue.
No,
but, you know,
I mean, if you hate overhang, I'm a massive overhang hater. You know, some people might like it, some people, and it's made out of stainless steel, so that's pretty basic for that one. The next one coming up is from Amotus. Well, it's called the Amotus Dog RTA 3.5 mil.
Okay.
Now, it only comes out in one color, and it's black. So it's designed by Asmodus and Vapors MD. It has a 2 graveyard style post build deck for the best conductivity. So if you're looking at the sort of build deck, it's kind of very similar to, I'd say, the Dead Rabbit similarity wise. But not exactly the same. Hey, your coils will sit directly on top of the airflow. It's hard to explain in picture, but you basically got undercoil airflow, and your coils are built in perpendicular to the airflow slits.
It's interesting looking deck.
I
mean, that's a new name that they must have just coiled in, the whole graveyard deck kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard it before. I mean, it doesn't really look like a graveyard to me.
I don't know. I mean, they could be 2 plots right next to each other.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Don't know. Adjustable 3 Cyclops bottom airflow holes, so they're basically oval-shaped. Top fill design with 3.5 mil juice capacity, made from stainless steel, and that has a 25 millimeter diameter. I think it looks quite nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad looking atomizer.
You know,
it's very clean. Like, well, very clean.
You look at Asmodus products over the years, and they've always looked very clean.
Yeah, they've always kept a very defined lines and very clean. Yeah. Like, not much to them, but. You know, they're very aesthetically pleasing, and they seem to be following suit with this atomizer as well.
I mean, the name, the Asmodus Dog, like D-A-W-G, kind of like how you'd ghetto people would say dog. You know, it doesn't really appeal to me.
No.
They could have called it anything else and would have been happy, but it's just that dog. So, yeah, it's mainly black. The actual branding is white. The dog is white on it, which, you know, once you put it with juice, you're probably going to be able to see it anyway.
Oh, no, you'll see it all right.
You're going to see through that?
Oh, yeah. You will.
But, yeah, so two new ones coming out from Osmodus. Next up, we have a new device from eLeaf. So it's called the eLeaf Ice Stick NoWOS 80 Watt Temperature Control Mod, running a 4400 milliamp hour battery in it.
Yeah.
Which is quite a decent sized battery.
It is pretty decent. That's decent sized.
So basically, it's an elegant and glossy temperature control mod with compact design, maximum output of 80 watts, unique LED screen with touch button. And lateral type C charging port with 3-amp quick charge. So it's going to charge super quick, and the button on the side of it there is just a touch button. So it's not actually a depressible one. Right. It's just a...
But couldn't that then cause problems, like if it's sitting in your pocket?
Well, you'd probably lock it. Probably three taps
a lock. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Five taps a lock or something. But I mean,
that is one clean piece of kit.
It looks nice. It comes out in five colors at the moment. It comes out in black on black, black on red, black on blue, white on gray, and white on rainbow.
Yeah, don't go much on the rainbow or the other colors, but I'm liking that white on gray or gunmetal.
Yeah,
whatever that is, I think that looks absolutely smashing.
And given the fact that the eLeaf, you know, eLeaf's had pretty good and bad reps over the years with their products, I don't see them coming in at being overly too pricey.
Yeah.
And given the fact it's got a 4400 milliamp hour battery inside of it.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
You know, that's good. I think one of my DNA 200 mods, the box, has got an 800 milliamp hour battery in it, you know, which is tiny. So,
in comparison, yeah. But that is a very nice looking mod.
And it's a nice new sort of LED display for eLeaf.
Yeah, I like
instead
it.
Of the old eLeafs used to have the tiny little displays on them. So that's going to be good.
That's actually really nice.
And last but not least, we have a new vape a new mod coming out from ThinkVape called the Thor Pro 220 watt temperature control box mod. So basically, it's ergonomic design with attractive patterns, dual 18650 mod with 220 max output, which is pretty much standard now across the board.
Yeah, it is.
Comfortable button operation with easy USB charging, which obviously is using 18650 cells.
Yeah, you're not charging.
You're not charging to the mod anyway.
Yeah.
High temperature and short circuit protection, high performance variable wattage and temperature control modes. It's got a 1.3-inch TFT color screen. And the measurements of it are 46 by 32 by 88. So it's quite a small little compact unit.
Yeah, that is pretty small.
But you could easily fit a 25 to 30 mil tank on that.
That's insane.
Now, the patterns on it are actually really quite nice. They're very sort of, I guess you'd call rustic-y, steampunk-y style patterns on it. But anyone who has a chance to catch our live show, even if they go back a week, we'll see what we're talking about with the design and the patterns on it. They're quite good and, you know, quite nice. And that's it really for what's new this week in the sort of coming out.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, next week I'll be bringing in another mod to have a bit of a look at, which is the Aria / Cloud Kickers Fujin parallel box mod.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of kit from what I've seen so far.
Well, I'm still waiting on one of my mods coming from
Sydney. It's still coming.
It's still sitting in Sydney. It's been 2 weeks in Sydney. Customs.
Auspost.
Auspost. You get exactly what you pay for.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been told by some people that Auspost is better than FedEx.
No, DHL.
Not FedEx.
Nimble?
No.
Oh, that's not a post.
No.
Sendal.
Something.
Something.
Something. Definitely something.
Fastway Couriers. Star Trek. One of them.
No. US Post.
USPS.
Yes, that's it. That's the one I was looking for.
Well, don't forget, USPS is basically Auspost in America.
Yeah, I know. But you sort of think, you know, when they tell you that it's, you know, going to be you know, priority airmail. That's basically the equivalent of the general post timeline. And, you know, the express post is just one extra on top.
Well, I'm going to call Sydney. I'm going to custom Sydney tomorrow. I'm going to give them a buzz and go, hey, look, it's been there for 2 weeks. Why hasn't it moved?
Yeah, it's going to be something that you're going to have to crack on and do.
Well, it's just a mod. There's no batteries. There's nothing in it. It's just purely a mod.
Yeah.
Unless I'll probably get a letter in the mail tomorrow saying, oh, you have to pay us $10 tax or something on it. We're not releasing it. So that's pretty much it for
that's for it for our first podcast.
First podcast, yeah, just short and concise, you know, news, reviews. Oh, sorry, first impressions, not reviews. And that's pretty much it, yeah. There's not really much else to go into it today.
Yeah, not today, but next week when we put our next podcast together, we'll have some more bits and pieces together. We're looking to talk about Ohm's Law, talk a bit about nicotine salts versus freebase.
Yeah.
Nicotine and what the differences may be in that.
Yes. Bit into juice making as well.
Yeah, potentially a bit of juice making.
Cards for next stream as well.
And also as well, if you guys feel inclined anywhere around the world to ring in or just, you know, just talk to us through Anchor, go right ahead. We'll be more than happy to have a bit of a chit chat.
Yeah, that's including any vendors as well who want to jump in and give us a Skype call. We can patch you guys into the podcast and, you know, you can chat with us and chat with the populace.
Yeah.
You know, about your business and what you do and what you want
to
sell.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear from anyone, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, first podcast today, just, you know, was planned for last week and we had a few technical issues.
Oh, yeah, we did.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. And for the guys who are going to be on tonight on watching the live stream in about half an hour, it's a... We'll see you guys then.
Yes, we will. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.